You're listening to Marketplace Weekend. I'm Kimberly Adams in for Lizzie O'Leary. Following the recent mass shooting at a Florida high school, Dick's Sporting Goods said it would stop selling assault-style rifles and no longer sell guns of any type to people under age 21. The day of the announcement, the retailer saw a more than 32,000% increase in mentions, retweets, comments, and likes on social media compared to the day before. People really take notice of a company's stance on issues, including some of you, our listeners.
I try not to buy things at companies that sell guns.
That's Catherine Wallstrom in Sarasota, Florida. She says she won't shop where she doesn't agree with a company's stance.
I try to, you know, buy things at locally owned companies. I try to buy things at female-owned companies or minority-owned companies. So I've never shopped at Walmart because I don't think I value anything Walmart values.
If the company puts out something like they were going to support gun control, then I would shop more likely at their stores because I would like to support that movement.
And that was Susan Wendelboe in Chatham, New York. But companies aren't just taking a stance on social or political issues. A whole industry has sprung up around private businesses trying to solve public problems. Issues like traffic congestion, homelessness, malaria, and water access. It's been dubbed the solution economy. Bill Eggers is executive director of Deloitte's Center for Government Insights and co-authored a book on the topic. Welcome.
It's great to be with you today.
Thanks. So what is the solutions economy and where did this idea even come from?
Well, the solution economy is basically this burgeoning new economy where you've got business, government, philanthropy, social enterprise, foundations all converging to solve big public problems. In every city in America, you have social startups that are particularly focused on things like the environment or energy, education, homelessness. And then also you have for-profit companies founded in a way that they wanted to solve societal problems.
So that's really interesting because there's this whole school of thought that a company's primary responsibility, especially if you're talking about a corporation, is to make money. And that money goes to shareholders. And those shareholders can change the world in the way that they want to with that money. Why are companies stepping into social positions or political positions at all?
You know, there's a variety of drivers of this, and number one is simply the bottom line. These companies understand more and more that both the people that work for them and consumers, they want to invest in companies and work for companies that have a purpose, that are doing good in the world. And so it's very, very important for brand. Companies are realizing that they can both make money, but also dive into solving these problems, and it can actually help them.
So some people might hear this conversation and say, there it is. This is the example of why the government doesn't really need to step in to solve social issues because companies will do it because it's good for business. What does the solutions economy see as the role of government in all of this?
Government has a very powerful role to play in the solution economy, but it's a different role than they have today. Instead of sole problem solver, government's role is to create an environment where problem solvers can flourish.
What about as a regulator? Because you have things like climate change, unemployment, lack of water access, malaria, huge public problems. And if a possible solution is coming from the private sector, who's making sure that these things are actually safe or legitimate?
And that's a great question. And what governments are doing in that regard is, I think, really brilliant. They're creating what are called sandboxes or accelerators. And they're bringing in these social entrepreneurs and they're bringing in startups who are working on solutions to work with them while they're looking at the regulations so they can understand these technologies in a deeper way and that they can create something that will encourage innovation at the same time while protecting citizens.
So we've talked about things from the business perspective and the government perspective, but on the consumer side of this, lots of people are now making buying decisions based on what they perceive as the company's values. And as more of these businesses get behind different causes, how do we know it's not just all a PR ploy?
Well, I think what's really interesting is how sophisticated a lot of consumers have actually become And they're looking for much more beyond just a marketing sort of a one-time thing. They're really looking at these companies and what they're really doing around trying to solve problems and be a good corporate citizen. You know, increasingly, you have companies now who are applying to be what's called a C Corp, where Unilever, one of the biggest consumer goods companies in the world, is now an application to do that, and which says that they're not only about the bottom line, that they also have a social purpose.
But doesn't that also open companies up to even more criticism as people dig into their social responsibility? You gave the example of Unilever, which had Dove's campaign for real beauty here in the United States, but in many parts of the developing world runs ads for skin bleaching creams that are really harmful to people's health and self-image.
Consumers have different they certainly have different values in what they bring to the table. But more and more, there's a lot of transparency. You know, a good example is in malaria eradication. Government has played a big role, foundations like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. You've had social enterprises, but you've also actually had a number of companies putting in you know, total hundreds of millions of dollars into this, from Coca-Cola to Shell, from Bayer to Chevron, playing this role in this fight against this scourge that we've not been able to eliminate for centuries.
But then how do you scale, you know, an initiative from, say, a startup to something that actually makes a difference in the world?
That's a great question. And that's what actually a lot of these accelerators and other initiatives are designed to do. Some of these institutions have been around just a year or two and already scaled up to over 25 million customers.
At the end of the day, a company still has to make money, and some of these solutions do cost money. Is there a risk that certain groups or certain segments of society are going to be priced out of the solutions that they actually might need the most?
Well, in fact, if you look at some of the most successful of these sort of social enterprises, what they're doing is actually the opposite. An example of that is in India, where you have an organization is able to provide cataract surgery for $25 per person through a radically new sort of business model compared to $1,200 a person or so in the U.S. You have a lot of these sort of business models which are actually aimed at creating radically low-cost solutions so that they can bring essentially billions more people into the marketplace who right now have no opportunity to participate in that marketplace.
Bill Eggers is executive director of Deloitte's Center for Government Insights. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.